And welcome back, folks. This is Truth Versus News. Oh boy, there was a real struggle going on here in the first of June week, and we're heading to June 6th. 666 is locking out. So that could be the big day of resolution or strife. Anyway, we got lots more for another hour, Jim. Load it on and see if we can handle it all.
Don, I think that's a great astute observation. 666. Meanwhile, even the Kremlin is alarmed about the Donald Trump verdict. Thursday, a New York jury found Trump, presumptive GOP presidential nominee, guilty of 34 counts of falsifying business records related to a hush money payment to adult film actress Stormy Daniels shortly before the 2016 presidential election. She alleges she had a sexual encounter with Trump in 2006, which he denies. Trump has maintained his innocence and says the case is politically motivated. At a Friday news conference, Kremlin spokesman Presky began by saying that Russia typically avoids commenting on court verdicts in other countries, but added, if we talk about Trump in general, it's obvious there is actually the elimination of political rivals by all possible legal and illegal means. Trump, of course, had boasted about his relationship with Vladimir Putin, telling Fox back in August of 23 that Moscow would have never launched its invasion of Ukraine in February 2022 had he been in office. I was the apple of his eye, he said of Putin. In a June 2021 interview with NBC, Putin called Trump an extraordinary individual, talented individual. Otherwise, he would not have become U.S. president. However, we have a U.S. president in the form of this cadaver Biden, who's most certainly not extraordinary and not talented. Reacting to the verdict Friday, Trump posted on social media, "I did nothing wrong. Nothing was done wrong. NDAs, non-disclosure agreements, are standard, common, and legal. Mega witch hunt. If this can happen to me, it can happen to anyone." Reactions to the guilty verdict were mixed. Some allies spoke up against the judicial system. Others rejoiced. Justice was served. Biden campaign spokesperson Michael Tyler said in New York Today, "We saw that no one is above the law." He added, "The threat Trump poses to our democracy has never been greater." Newsweek reached out to the Biden campaign, who was referred to Tyler's statement, and another from White House counsel's office. "We respect the rule of law and have no additional comment." June 6th, we know, will be the landmark. Macron has chosen, not by chance, June 6th. Will it be for trainers only? Meanwhile, the response of the public has been enormous. Trump shatters fundraising records after rigged Biden trial verdict. Today, the Trump campaign announced a record-shattering small donor fundraiser haul following the Biden sham trial verdict, totaling $34.8 million, nearly double the biggest day ever recorded for the Trump campaign on a WinRed platform. Crooked Joe and the Democrats, with their election-interfering political witch hunt, have awakened a mega movement like never before. You're the man, bro. Trump gets massive applause from UFC crowd and praise from winning fighters. Donald Trump was in New Jersey Saturday for a UFC fight, marking one of his first public appearances after being found guilty. Despite the best efforts of the leftist critics, the conviction seems to have done little to quell the public support for Biden's bid, for Trump's bid for a second term. Fox reported, Trump appeared at UFC 302 and received a huge ovation, a standing ovation, from fans at the Prudential Center in Newark Saturday night, as fans awaited the main event featuring Dustin Poirier challenging Islam Makhachev's UFC lightweight championship. Trump walked into the arena with UFC president Dana White, stopped for a second to greet comedian Theo Vaughn, shook hands with fans, and waved to the crowd. He then took his spot outside the UFC octagon to watch the main card. Here you have him coming in and an initial response.
Acosta also with us tonight. 45. Being ushered in by UFC CEO Dana White. Donald Trump is in the building, and the former president getting a standing ovation from the assembled masses here at UFC 302. Sneaking suspicion that former President Trump would be in the building for UFC 302. He is a rabid mixed martial arts fan. I kind of feel like he's betting on these fights when he's not actually here.
Boy, the round of applause he's getting right now is pretty staggering. And you had to imagine that's what was going to happen. Thank you, sir.
Donald Trump with us.
Well, it was much more, including on gas. The crowd was calling out, F Joe Biden, F Joe Biden. Meanwhile, among the other reports, real estate investor says nobody wants to do business in New York following the Trump verdict. Grant Cardone, founder of Cardone Capital, reaffirms his decision to withhold future investments from the Empire State in response to Trump's guilty verdict. Real estate investor Grant Cardone appeared on Fox Business this week following the latest Trump verdict and said it's going to have far-reaching effects on the city's economy. He suggested nobody, including him, wants to do business in New York City anymore because they no longer trust the political and legal system there. Cardone says the people who are invested in his company wouldn't even allow him to do business there from Fox. If they can do this to Donald Trump, a former president, regardless of how you feel about the politics, if they can do this to a former president, what can they do to Grant Cardone? What can they do to any other businessman? He chimed in Friday on Varney & Company. Cardone recently pulled his business out of the Empire State and cautioned Trump's legal troubles, including a previous $355 million fine in a New York civil fraud case in February, would wreak financial havoc on the city. I have 15,000 investors at Cardone Capital. We've raised $1.3 billion. If I went to them today and said, I want to invest in New York City, they would not give me money to do that. That's one of the greatest cities on planet Earth, and nobody wants to go there and do business. I blame the legal system. Clearly, the political system has been weaponized. New York City is already struggling under the weight of crime, reduced revenue due to people leaving, and a border crisis. Now they're also going to deal with fewer investment from people like Cardone. The situation is going to have an impact on New York City that'll last a long time in ways that cannot even be seen yet. Let's go with what we have there. Brian, your thoughts.
Well, this is a kangaroo court that's being operated by the same group that pulled the strings in the 2020 coup d'etat. It's a message to everybody out there who would ever choose to stand up against the machine. The message is wherever you go, whoever you are, we can get you and we can take you down. So you're either going to be on our team or you're not going to be on our team. They've been after Trump in every different way from possible, and they had to stoop to this level. But fundamentally, what's here is that Cohen suggested Trump settle with Stormy Daniels because she was going to come out about their one night together. And who cares? I mean, think of all the presidents who have had one night with somebody that they shouldn't have had. And what's illegal about that? Secondarily, all 34 felony counts are related to entries in books. One was the entry of an invoice. The next was the entry into the invoicing system. The next was the receipt. The next was the payment out of the invoicing system, all related to different payments that went through Michael Cohen, who was at the time was one of Trump's attorneys. Does that smell strange? The guy's been a bad guy ever since the beginning in all this. Secondarily, those entries into the ledger system didn't take place until 2017, well after the 2016 election. So how could it be a violation of a federal campaign finance violation? And second and third, why would a state have any interest in a federal campaign violation whatsoever, much less the state of New York? That's why it's so obviously a takedown. And I'm glad to see Trump raising a tremendous amount of money in spite of this. It shows that there are a lot of people who recognize it for what it is. Of course, the libs will always continue to take the blue pill and allow the media to tell them what to think. But anybody who thinks independently of this knows that the whole situation can spell disaster. If they can get after Trump under these circumstances, then they can get after anybody. Now, this is 34 felony counts, which theoretically carries some sort of 4 years per count. That's like 120 years in prison. Who knows what this crazy judge will throw at him, since the judge, even though he's got no criminal background whatsoever, and all it was for paying off Stormy Daniels to not come out about the night that she can't even remember in the first place all the details. She's told so many different stories, and the whole court was set up to prevent Trump from getting a good shot at it. Now, Dershowitz and others have said that Trump's litigation attorneys didn't do such a great job. You know, hey, it is what it is. He pays for the best attorneys in the whole world. It doesn't really matter. The thing was rigged to get him from the very beginning. And again, a part of a coup d'etat and a message to any man who might be willing to stand up against the deep state, another billionaire, another type of personally successful, powerful, strong, independent man, that we can take you down no matter how, no matter what, no matter when, and no matter where. This is a travesty. This is a travesty that they haven't taken down more pedophiles. Meanwhile, you've got Ashley Biden getting peed on by her dad in the shower, whatever, and nobody cares. Hunter Biden gets away with all his shenanigans and the laptops, and nobody cares. Hillary Clinton deletes and burns 33,000 emails. Bill Clinton gets away with everything he got away with. I mean, this is a travesty. It's ridiculous. The big message is, you're either on our team or we'll take you out. And that's a problem. That means that these people need to go down. But how? Again, we got to get a Department of Justice that's willing to go after the pedophiles. I guarantee you, with that approach, you'll end up taking out a quarter of the deep state, if not half of them.
Well said. Very well said. Meanwhile, CNN lawyers take an unexpected turn. Blast Judge Merchant and back Trump big time. On Friday, defense attorney Randy Zellin and former Trump lawyer Tim Parlatore raised a constitutional concern about Judge Juan Merchant's jury instructions in former President Trump's trial. Judge Merchant told the jury they didn't need to agree unanimously on which specific other crime Trump committed. Instead, they could pick from three different crimes to convict him. I hate to say this, but I would be remiss if I didn't, Zellin said. Whether you're driving in a Ford or a Ferrari, if someone gives you bad directions, you're going to end up lost. And those jury instructions were just a complete, just take the Constitution, throw it out a window, burn it, shoot it, hang it. I think the jury instructions had a very key flaw here, which is the falsification of business records had to be in furtherance of some other crime. And there wasn't really great instructions on what that other crime was, Palatori said, in response to a question of whether the jury instructions might lead to an appellate court overturning the verdict. Under New York state law, They're not required to say which it is, but when they do, the judge has to instruct them on that specific crime. And the problem here is they don't have to prove that they actually committed that other crime. They don't have to prove that they actually had FEC violations, but they have to show that what they intended to do was in fact a crime. And that, I think, is really the shortfall in the jury instructions, a lack of an explanation to this jury as to the federal election law. Meanwhile, absurd DNC verdict. Will it boost Trump or bring him down? Some were shocked and angered by the guilty on all 34-count verdict against Donald Trump by a biased jury, enabled by a biased judge in a biased kangaroo court in New York City. Others were jubilant, immediately branding the ex-president a convicted felon, even though that pejorative term has now lost all meaning in my book. Still, others see the sham criminal proceeding as a final push helping Trump gain victory in November. One of those appears to be Donald J. Trump himself. This is the first time in history, U.S. history, a former president faced a criminal trial, much less convicted of multiple felonies. A verdict could upend the 2024 White House race. Recall, the ridiculous charges were at the New York City level for allegedly falsifying business records to keep a porn performer quiet about an alleged quickie with Trump. The charges were based on a rarely used statute that considers the misdeed simple misdemeanors, not felonies. And the statute of limitations had already expired on them. As the outlet reported, Trump was saying shortly after the verdict was announced. The other thing, a poll came out, the first poll. Maybe others will be bad. But the poll just came out a little while ago by the Daily Mail. They have a good poll. I like it today. It has Trump up 6 points in the last 12 hours. 6 points since this happened. Who thought that could happen, said Trump, to applause among his supporters gathered at Trump Tower. Because the people of our country know it's a hoax. They know it's a hoax. They get it. They're really smart, and it's really something. He went on to promise his team will be appealing this scam. Meanwhile, Republican donors appear energized by the verdict. In the past day, the Trump campaign announced he raised a record-breaking $34.8 million from small-dollar donors outraged by the conviction. The Republican Senate and congressional committees also announced their largest single-day fundraising numbers of the cycle. However, at least one longtime Republican political operative believes the verdict could hurt Trump among independents in key states. That's Karl Rove, who's a longtime anti-Trumper. Brian, isn't that a remarkable jumping 6 points in 12 hours?
No, I think it's par for the course in terms of anybody who's been on the fence. Now, I don't know how you can still be on the fence after all these years, but anybody who's been on the fence can see that this is such a joke. Look, the elements of a crime are very simple. On this date, at this time, this person in this jurisdiction did this, which is a violation of that state law. If I'm going to do a criminal defense for somebody, one of the first things I'm going to do is find out what crime they've been charged with and go and look up sample jury instructions as to what other judges have written about explaining to the jury what that crime is. Because that, in the end, is how you convict somebody. So to have this crazy judge write these jury instructions because the statute had never been used before in any court anywhere, there were no sample jury instructions available, which meant that he got to simply write up 56 pages of what he thought the crime was. Now, If it's as simple as writing out the elements, why do you have to write 56 pages and then prevent them from being released to anybody in the media so that nobody knows what's inside the jury instructions? It's my understanding that what happened at the end of this is that they gave the jury a whole bunch of choices in terms of if he did this and he did this, or he did this and he did this, then we can put him in. This violates everything and opens up everything for an appeal. But still, that's more lawfare that keeps Trump off the campaign trail. Now, he has been saying a lot of things that I do like to hear on this new campaign route. But one thing that he's not talking about is cleaning out the swamp, going after the deep state and shutting down that business. Apparently, he doesn't think that that's playing very well for him anymore. I think right now he can ride the wave of enthusiasm related to, we don't want America to descend into a kangaroo court. We want to be able to choose our own leader. We want to be able to speak about that how we want. That's a great thing. And I'm glad that he's gaining momentum, and 42 billion in one day. I think it's even more than that now. That those are crazy numbers from small donors. And not only on the top of that, he's getting a lot of new billionaire mega donors to back him as well, because they don't want to see New York and other cities go down in this big mess because nobody wants to do business there anymore. This thing is an absolute mess, which again confirms to me that they're getting closer and closer and closer to the start of this new world order, and they just can't allow Trump to be in their way when that takes place. I would expect it to happen before the 2024 election. I would expect it to happen before November 6th, 2024. I think that they're going to figure out a way to roll it out, and I think it's going to be with some sort of massive military-style event on top of a pandemic, on top of emergency orders to prevent an election from even taking place, even if Trump is on the ticket. So I don't have very high hopes right now, even though he's gotten more popularity coming out of this mess. He's still going to have to deal with the lawfare.
Yep. And we have more about the trial, remarkably enough. Get this. Trump campaign raised staggering $200 million since Thursday conviction. If Democrats needed further confirmation at prosecuting Trump on an obscure misdemeanor elevated to a felony just for him, where the same DA reduced 60% of felonies to misdemeanors last year for blacks and Latinos, the Trump campaign has raised over $200 million since Thursday verdict. Of that, $70 million was from small donors, 30% from first-time donors to a political campaign. I mean, Eric, Trump said, these are Americans who are pissed off. They're coming out of the woodwork. They want to support a guy they just believe was getting bamboozled by a citizen. We saw it with impeachment one. We saw it with impeachment two. We see it where they were weaponized every liberal DA and AG across the country with one intent, to take him down, to slander him, to ruin his reputation, to try and divide his family, to try and bankrupt him, to throw him in jail, to do whatever the hell they can do. America sees through it. They know exactly what's going on. Meanwhile, leaked. Trump prison sentence on Rikers Island leaked by Bragg's office to The View. Think President Trump isn't going to jail? Think again. Alvin Bragg's office have been accused of leaking their plan. They're going to recommend a one-year prison sentence for President Trump. Why 1 year? Because a sentence that's 1 year or less in the District of Manhattan will automatically be served on Rikers Island. That's right. That Rikers Island, the most dangerous and notorious prison in the entire country. This inside information was leaked to Sonny Hostin on ABC's The View. Forget what you think about The View or Sonny Hostin's politics. It would be unprecedented for someone as profile as Trump to go to Rikers Island, according to Economic Times, since each of his charges carries a sentence of a max of 4 years behind bars. Trump may not be a free man much longer, according to a report by Daily Star UK. The sentencing of Trump is awaited and will be happening on July 11th. He may, by all means, land up at the Rikers Island Jail, which has previously seen some hotshot personalities serving their sentences. Tupac, originally named Tupac Shakur, was a hip-hop legend who was shot dead, but not before reaching great heights in the music industry. His personal life, however, was also in turmoil when he found himself landed on Rikers Island for sexually assaulting a fan back in 1994. He was later bailed out by a record label owner after 8 months. American rapper, social media sensation Lil Wayne, also served at Rikers after convicted for a gun charge back in 2010. Notorious serial killer David Berkowitz, son of Sam, known infamously for carrying out shootings and murders on New York streets, was also sent to Rikers for a short time before moved to different penitentiaries. The man had been constantly demanded parole for the longest time due to the degree of his crimes. But things are actually worse than they seem. The Secret Service might not go with Trump. Bernie Thompson has introduced legislation, convenient timing, that would bar Secret Service from protecting a convicted felon. Per the government house-wide website, today, Representative Bernie Thompson, ranking member of the Committee on Homeland Security, introduced the Denying Infinite Security and Government Resource Allocated Toward Convicted and Extremely Dishonorable Former Protectees Act, or the Disgraced Former Protectees Act. The legislation would reform the Secret Service Protective Mission by terminating Secret Service protection for those who have been sentenced to prison following conviction for a federal or state felony, clarifying prison authorities would be responsible for the protection of all inmates regardless of previous Secret Service protection. Unfortunately, current law doesn't anticipate how Secret Service protection would impact the felony prison sentence of a protectee, even a former president. It is regrettable it has come to this, but this previously unthought-of scenario could become our reality. Therefore, it is necessary for us to be prepared and update the law so the American people can be assured that protective status does not translate into special treatment, and that those who are sentenced to prison will indeed serve the time required of them. Here's a discussion about it.
Alvin Bragg's office is likely to recommend a one-year prison sentence behind bars for President Trump, according to a stunning revelation from Sonny Hostin on ABC's The View. Now, forget about your views on Sonny Hostin's politics. When it comes to insider information, she has a track record of being spot on. Don't forget, Sonny herself worked in the legal system. According to the State University of New York, Hostin began her legal career as an appellate law clerk, trial attorney for the Justice Department, and lastly, a federal prosecutor. She received a special achievement award from then Attorney General Janet Reno during her time as a federal prosecutor. Look, I don't like Sonny's politics at all, but I can't argue that she is legally well-connected and well-sourced. Here's what she told the other woman on The View.
Mm-hmm. Judge Marchand has, I think he has really done a good job in terms of keeping that courtroom together. Yes. I spent this morning speaking to someone from the Manhattan District Attorney's Office. They're called Street Fighters. He believes that they will recommend a one-year term in prison. And that is because when you spend a year in prison in New York or under, you serve in Rikers Island. Okay? Also,
the oohs, ahs, and applause from the audience makes my stomach sick. But did you notice how she phrased that? Don't forget, Sonny is a lawyer. And look, I come from a family of lawyers, and let me tell you one thing. They choose every word they say intentionally. She didn't say that Trump will serve in Rikers Island because he's getting a prison sentence. She said they're going to recommend 1 year in prison because it would result in Trump going to Rikers Island. Listen again.
He believes that they will recommend a 1 year term in prison. And that is because When you spend a year in prison in New York or under, you serve in Rikers Island. Okay?
To me, that's putting the cart before the horse. It's give me the person and I'll show you the crime. It suggests that there was an outcome that they wanted and they're going to do everything they can to make that outcome a reality. But that's not all that Sonny revealed. Take a look.
I did some research.
Right.
The other thing I'd like to say is the other reason that they will do this is because he has shown an utter disregard for our institutions. Yes. And prosecutors, when you are recommending a sentence, you are not just recommending a sentence so that they can be rehabilitated or so that they can be punished. You're sending a message to the community.
Yes.
That this is not going okay. to happen again. Sorry. This is not okay. The other thing I want to say is that there's another thing that they will likely recommend is a 6-month split. 6 months at Rikers, mm-hmm. and then the rest, 5 years, 4.5 years of probation. That is under the New York law.
That's ironic. It's about respecting the system, eh? Well, what about Joe Biden, who the Supreme Court said could not single-handedly forgive student loans? Yet he did so anyways and is on video bragging about it.
Early in my term, I announced a major plan to provide millions of working families with debt relief for their college student debt. Tens of millions of people in debt were literally about to be canceled, their debts. But my MAGA Republican friends in the Congress, elected officials and special interests stepped in and sued us. And the Supreme Court blocked it. It blocked it. But that didn't stop me.
That didn't stop me? Well, that right there says it all. It's ironic that the leftist ladies on The View are all about our institutions and our norms when it's their party that bailed out looters, rioters, and murderers during the 2020 Summer of Love. This is coming from the party that's letting criminals out of jail and back into the streets right now. The party that wants to let the world in through our open borders. You cannot make this stuff up. But this all raises the question, what does President Trump think? Personally, I believe Trump knew he was going to be found guilty, and I believe he thinks he's going to jail. Let me prove it to you. Just a few days ago, Trump said that Mother Teresa could not beat these charges. A lot of people made fun of him because they thought he was actually comparing himself to Mother Teresa, but that was just a Trumpism. That's just how he talks. If you actually listen to what he's trying to communicate, he's saying, if Mother Teresa can't beat these charges, then there's no way I can. In other words, he predicted the guilty verdict. Take a look.
In listening to the charges from the judge, who's, as you know, very conflicted and corrupt, because of the confliction, very, very corrupt, Mother Teresa could not beat these charges. These charges are rigged. The whole thing is rigged. The whole country's a mess between the borders and fake elections. And you have a trial like this where the judge is so conflicted he can't breathe. He's got to do his job. And it's not for me, that I can tell you. It's a disgrace. And I mean that Mother Teresa could not beat those charges. But we'll see. We'll see how we do.
And just a few days before that, Trump said that he would be willing to go to prison for the Constitution. Now, think about that for a second. Why would Trump even say that? Why would he say he would be willing to go to jail unless it's a realistic possibility?
What's going on here is a disgrace. Jonathan Turley just came out. This case is becoming legally obscene. It's, the articles are unbelievable. And I'd hand you the articles, but the problem is I'm not allowed to. Because if anything's mentioned against certain people, and you know who they are, certain people, anything's even mentioned, he wants to put me in jail. And that could happen one day, and I'd be very proud to go to jail for our Constitution. Because what he's doing is so unconstitutional.
But here's where things get really terrifying. Rikers Island is one of the most notorious, dangerous, and lethal jails in the entire country. The ratio of inmates who die or get injured at Rikers Island is higher by many multiples than the vast majority of jails. But wouldn't the Secret Service protect him, you might ask? Well, according to the House website, Ranking Member Benny Thompson proposed a bill that would take away Secret Service protection should Trump go to jail. Take a look.
Hey, you mentioned prison. And they want to put you in prison. And the most shocking thing I've seen in a long time, Benny Thompson who tries to come off as this avuncular kind of wise man, you know, from the January 6th committee. He wants to put you in prison without Secret Service. I don't know if you've seen this. I don't know if you've reacted to it yet, but he's got a proposal that would terminate Secret Service. Now, I don't think you're going to jail, but let's face it, theoretically, it could happen. He wants to deprive you of your Secret Service if you go to prison. These Democrats want you dead. You realize that?
Yeah, because I'm the one that turns things around. I'm the one that had the best economy in history. I'm the one that had the best border in history. I'm the one that had the low energy prices. And we were respected all over the world, and we were doing things like nobody's ever done, and we had the best economy ever.
Now, the good news in all of this is that Minnesota Democrat Dean Phillips is calling on New York Governor Hochul to pardon President Trump for the good of the country. But will Hochul listen? Will other Democrats follow his lead, or does Dean Phillips stand alone? Here are my thoughts on all of this. For anyone who has been following President Trump closely, this is clearly just another witch hunt. But that's the problem. Most people don't follow politics closely. They have lives they have to live, jobs they have to work to put food on the table, and families and friends to enjoy this one life we have together with. So politics is an afterthought. And that's why I plan on creating a video explaining why the trial and verdict are legally flawed. And when it's released, I humbly ask for your help to spread the word. But
Ryan, I thought that was a wonderful presentation, and you can see how disgusting is the situation he's up against. Your thoughts?
Donald Trump may now be capable of uniting the MAGA party or the Republican party, or transforming the Republican machine into a more of a MAGA machine, because he's becoming, in a sense, a martyr without having to be killed. To be persecuted like this under these circumstances, when you're claiming that you're going to be capable of really changing things here in America, I'd say his street cred has just gone way up. And that's not even to mention the street cred with the Black community that he's going to gain, because all those people have been feeling a lot of pressure from a corrupt legal system for a long, long time. And I'm not saying it's always the case that that's the case, but if the Black vote is important for Donald Trump, I'd say that the Black vote is going to take a big leap for him. Now, Sonny Hostin being in on what they're going to recommend, I think that was really just a way to use the media to test how this would be received among the liberals. I really don't think that they're going to have the guts to try to put him in jail unless they know that their new world order has to be rolled out, and the only way it's going to be successful is without Donald Trump being in the way to stop it. But of course, he didn't stop anything related to COVID last time either. So I don't know how much they're going to be threatened about that this time around. And meanwhile, you know, in the last, I think it's 72 hours since this has taken place, he's raised somewhere near $70 million, including getting Miriam Adelson, Sheldon Adelson's ex-wife, who's the owner of the majority owner of the Dallas Mavericks and many other, the Sands Casino and others, big Jewish money, big money. He's setting up a super PAC for him. I think the main message that I wanted to get across with this is he's becoming a symbol of what it takes to stand up to the deep state, the swamp, the machine. And it takes a tremendous amount of resources. How can you possibly expect the little guy to stand up and exercise his rights, which ought to be capable of changing everything? I mean, look at Mahatma Gandhi, look at Martin Luther King, look at all the major leaders that have sacrificed personally and become great names for resistance. If they know what they're walking into by walking into the federal political game is this ugly, this corrupt, and this rotten, they'll simply choose not to. Why would you? Stay home, get rich, forget about it. Don't worry about the country. Look at what's happened to Mike Lindell. Look at what's happened to other patriots, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, others that have tried to put up some resistance to this swampy deep state. He may electrify and unite those people that are willing to do that, but notice that you're going to have very deep bankrolls to defend yourself against these people if they're going to use lawfare this successfully to be able to take people out. And this is a it's a It's a very sad day in American history that this has taken place. The founding fathers would have absolutely rolled over in their grave. And it does put us in a category of banana republic, as even the Russians came out and recognized the other day that this is a kangaroo court and a banana republic. I think it was Pirov that said that. And they're not ones to meddle in anybody else's court decisions, but this is something that really is serious business here. Meanwhile, Trump did have a rally on Staten Island, I believe. I mean, just loaded it up with an electrified crowd, just like the UFC concert. I mean, the guy's really becoming a symbol, and he might be able to bring the MAGA machine into a new birth or a new beginning.
Oh, Brian, I think you got that right. I do think you've got it right. What a nice report. Meanwhile, Jonathan Turley, in the race to the bottom this week, represent Benny Thompson and pulled ahead. The ranking Democrat on the House Homeland Security just introduced the denying infinite security and government resource allocated toward convicted and extremely dishonorable, disgraced former Protect These Act to end Secret Service protection for Trump if he goes to prison. It does not even work as an acronym with a tag of former protectee. How about shameful? Stopping harmful antics by members eagerly filing useless legislation or cuckoo congressmen undertaking charges to kill our opponents. Describing this move as regrettable, Thompson has found a way to add lethal elements to the unhinged political rage in Congress. Here was the interview we already heard. And I'm just telling you, this is so disgraceful. Meanwhile, the deep state appears to have shifted its support to Trump for president. Richard Cook writes, mark my words, the deep state has shifted its support to Trump for president. Biden is being thrown under the bus. 4 years of stumbling senility, collapse of U.S. foreign policy in Afghanistan, Ukraine, and Gaza, borderline graft, the display of woke perversions enough to make any real adult vomit have brought enough humiliation for America to last a century. William Barr is the deepest of the deep state, the ultimate covert operator. Check out his resume on Wikipedia. It was Barr, we recall, who delivered the message to Bill Clinton that he was in line for the presidency at a covert meeting in Mena, Arkansas, back in the heyday of CIA drug and armed trafficking. Barr just endorsed Trump for president after being part of the cabal that sent Trump up on January 6th and got him indicted in New York, Washington, and Georgia. Trump is beating the rap on everything thrown at him. Now the Supreme Court has been green-lighted to overturn the indictments. Meanwhile, George Soros' son, longtime deep state action officer in the regime change department, is doing what he has done in color revolutions around the world by doing the same to Biden via the, he claims, phony pro-Palestinian demonstrations. I, by contrast, believe they're 100% genuine, where the students have nothing to gain. Exactly the same deal as BLM, except sides have switched. Biden and the Dems are now permanently tarred as anti-Israel, allowing the alt-right, Breitbart, etc., and Trump himself to pose as pro-Israel all the way. So the Jewish donors are also flipping to Trump. Anyway, Biden won't be running. The word is he'll be swapped out for Gretchen Whitmer at the DNC in Chicago. Whitmer will then pretend to be running in Biden's place and will gracefully accept defeat. So Trump will be pres. And what will Trump pay for the privilege? He's already begun to pay by leaning on Mike Johnson to flip, lock, and green light the $95 billion war package for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. This includes getting on board with abandoning Republican opposition to any funding for border security, meaning Trump has bought into the deep state program for massive illegal immigration. Meanwhile, Mike Adams, why a deal had been made to install Trump. The primary movers are Zionist donors. They've had it with Biden's refusal to ship more weapons to Israel, as well as the resistance against Israel portrayed by Democrats. That's why suddenly a huge shift has taken place to back GOP candidates with Zionist money, exactly why you're seeing nearly the entire GOP throw away the First Amendment and go for the craziest, insane things imaginable, such as Lindsey Graham saying Israel should nuke Gaza, or GOP House members calling for rounding up pro-Palestinian protesters and deporting them to Gaza, where they can be bombed by the IDF. Trump is set to be president, but the cost will be the end of America's speech freedom, the First Amendment, and the freedom to think for yourself, especially on campus. America is about to descend into a fascist, Zionist-controlled police state. And I got to repeat again, this is the call to Hannity that broke my heart.
When you look at the anti-Semitism, the hatred of Israel by so many people, you go back 10 years, I mean, Israel was protected by Congress, and now Congress is just doing numbers that are unbelievable with, I think, a very, very small group of people within Congress, and it's got to stop. But we have to go back to the roots. We have to protect. We have to stop the anti-Semitism that's just pervading our country right now, and Biden has to do something. You have to get the job done. It's a horrible job to do, but they have to respond. When they do, when there's an attack, a sneak attack like on October 7th that's so violent and such hatred, you have to clean it out. You have to clean out the cancer, and you have to let them do their job. And frankly, it has to be done fast, because this is not sustainable for anybody. The job has to be done. It has to be done fast. The United States has to get courage, and the United States has to speak up. Nobody knows where the U.S. stands right now. I think Biden is not on the side of Israel, and he's making a tremendous mistake. You have to clean up the terror that we witnessed on October 7th. But the bottom line is they have to be able to finish the job. You have to let them finish the job. You have to support them. But they have to do it quickly. And you can't let scenes like this. The head of Columbia should be ashamed of herself. The job that she's done, she should no longer be there. She should be absolutely ashamed because she let this take place, Sean. And you look.
And meanwhile, we have RFK Jr. expressing incredible naivete.
You know, I don't believe that there's a genocide going on, and I don't think Israel's intention is genocide. I don't believe there's any evidence of genocide. There is genocide going on in the Mideast, but it's a genocide of Jews, and it's a genocide of Christians, and nobody's complaining about it for some reason. And there are much worse wars than what's happening in Gaza right now, but for some reason, people don't want to complain unless it's Jews who can be blamed. The idea of saying that there's a genocide going on in Israel because, you know, people die in war, and that in every war that's going on in the world today, there are civilians dying, and the average death rate, civilian to combatant death rate, according to the United Nations and to the Institute for the Study of Urban Warfare at West Point, is about 9 to 1. But in Gaza, it's about 1 to 1. So they've achieved a better, they protected in the most challenging conditions. The Israeli government had, the IDF has protected civilians better than any army in history. John Spencer said it has done more to protect civilians under more difficult circumstances than any army in history.
Meanwhile, we have Trump says he did an anti-Israel protest. This is, again, very disturbing. Former President Trump told donors he would end anti-Israel protests on college campuses by expelling foreign students from the U.S. Trump, the presumptive Republican nominee, took part in a May 14th roundtable with donors in New York, discussed the recent on-campus demonstrations he said was part of a radical revolution. If you get me elected, and you should really be doing this, if you get me reelected, we're going to set that movement back 25 or 30 years. Trump commended the New York Police Department for clearing protesters from Columbia University campus. He added other cities need to do the same because it has to be stopped now. Speaking to a group that included 98% of my Jewish friends, Trump cited pro-Israel step taken by his administration, including moving the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, recognizing the Golan Heights as Israeli territory, which Israel began occupying during the Six-Day War of 1967. Now here with one of the fighters there in New Jersey, the fighter said to Trump, "I know you're going to stop all this Palestine war." Trump said, "We're going to stop it. I'm going to stop it." But I don't think they meant the same thing.
50 times.
Thank you, man.
I know. I don't know. I got a little girl I love, and I got to see. I think this could be an option. Well, if it
he wants stopping the killing of the Palestinians. Trump wants it to end when all the Palestinians have been killed. Brian, your thoughts.
You know, one of the key words in all of that that was just said was the discussion of a color revolution. Okay, this was George Soros' way of overthrowing foreign governments from the outside. So that brings something up. Number one, we do have foreign and corrupt organizations type laws, but why is the American-Israeli Political Action Alliance Committee not considered to be a foreign influence here in America? They're the ones that push so much money up at the federal level in DC and buy the politicians one at a time out there. Make sure that they're running different corporations, make sure that they're installed at Vanguard and Blackstone and many others. Why are they not considered to be a foreign organization? More than 20% of their money comes from outside. The reason that I bring this up is that Georgia, not the state, but the country Georgia, recently tried to implement foreign organization limitations to prevent outsiders such as the United States from meddling in their elections and performing what was called a color revolutions. Now, they tried to stop that because they've experienced three color revolutions over the last 3 years, all of which were traced back to the United States and the West. Now, so what did they do? They tried to enact the law. So what did the powers that be do? They invoked the mob. They set the mob loose and turned them off in the Georgia Capitol to raise hell, just similar to what happened in COVID when we had the Antifa looters and Black Lives Matter and all the rest of the non-governmental organization paid disruption machines that were rolling out. Now, I bring this up because it's very, very important. If we want to solve our Israel problem, we should be solving our problem on a lot of different levels. If there's an outside government that's trying to act on our politicians, they ought to be eliminated from doing so by tracking how much money comes from outside. But we haven't done that, have we? It's just the same reason that Donald Trump has got such a cozy relationship with Miriam Adelson, Sheldon Adelson, that I was bringing up earlier. She set up his new, brand new super PAC that's collecting billionaires and trillionaires. Because it's all about money. When we start to stand up for character instead of money, then our politicians are gonna have something that's meaningful. At this point in time, I am deeply concerned about Donald Trump's ability to divide his patriotism and his character from his money, because to create some of the alliances he's created, especially lately, is pretty sad to know that those people are giving him money because they're expecting some sort of string in return when he gets installed. So it's something that we ought to be paying a lot closer attention to, but we don't for some reason. Well, obviously, the money's more important than the character.
Yep,
Brian, I wish I could say you got it wrong, but I'm afraid you got it exactly right. And you've done a sensational job today with every story we've covered. Don, I think we've hit the point just right to end our program for today. I want to thank everyone for being here, Chris Weinert included, for the time he could share with us. Don, take us out.
Oh, boy. I guess it's time to take us out after a two-hour show here. It's outstanding here, 1st of June. Yes, as we get ready for June 6th, 6-6-24 equals 666. And all hell could be breaking loose here before the weekend. So, and it looks like, Jim, you're spot on with the stories and everything is just information that everybody needs to know. So everybody out there, share this with all your friends. Otherwise, you're not going to get this important stuff that could save your lives, even maybe. We'll see. Anyway, so I thank you so much for watching. And hopefully we'll be able to be back here next week because it's times when you need to get the truth. And I don't think you're going to find it as well put as what Jim does to put it out. So thank you and best of everything. God bless.